Just because the NFL season is now firmly in the rearview mirror does not mean the betting season is over. There is still plenty of opportunities to put a little something-something on the games. No matter what tickles your fancy, there is still plenty of action to whet your appetite. But just remember, where you bet is every bit as important, if not more so, than what you're betting on. That's why I tell my friends to go to mybookie.ag. MyBookie has been ahead of the game for years now. And why does that matter? Oh, I don't know, in a million ways. Better lines, better payouts, less rules. At mybookie.ag, use promo code ZABE and have your deposit matched halfway up to $1,000. That's a free cash bonus for making your deposit. Use promo code ZABE to claim the offer. Bet, win, and most importantly, get paid with MyBookie today.
This is the ZABEcast, hosted by a Pop-Tart loving kid from the mean streets of McLean, Virginia. And since you probably have other, more important podcasts to waste your time on, screw those AirPods in tight and let's go.
Here we go. What you doing?
What are you doing? I'm on your podcast. What do you mean? What am I doing? That's what I'm doing.
Can you get up on the mic so I can listen, so I can hear you better?
Oh, here we go.
What are you
coaching already?
Listen. I got a new webcam I'm working out for you. I just purchased that for $75 just to be on this podcast.
Got really? His haircut today, too, it looks like.
No, I didn't get a haircut. I need one getter.
Need a haircut. Well, don't pull
great.
A Todd Monk. Did you hear what happened to Todd Monken today, well, Butchie?
Yeah, I missed the picture because I was getting a haircut. What an idiot.
How fucking great is that? Gitter, did you hear this?
No, I did not see that.
So the annual NFL owners meetings feature a fun little annual Easter egg for us on Sports Radio, which is to look at and examine the old coach's photo. They get every coach in the league, line them up, and they take a picture. Now, in previous years, it had been an incomplete photo because of various reasons. Some guys were just out doing something or whatever, which bothers me, Butchie. If you're going to take a team photo, and this is like a team photo, right? This is team NFL coach photo. Then you have to make sure you get everybody. You can't get a partial photo. Well, this year they had it all set to get a full photo. They had chairs lined up so it wouldn't just be an ad hoc, hey, guys, scrunch on in here. All right, lean in. I can't see you, Andy Reid. Oh, wait a minute. You're the fat guy in the middle.
It's hard to miss Andy Reid, let's be honest.
I know. Right. And so they had everybody except for the new coach of the Browns, Todd Monken, who missed the photo shoot.
Says he also missed a meeting leading up to the picture.
For the photo shoot. That is funny as shit.
I'm here. I did not miss it. I am
did
here.
You ever miss a team photo when you're playing for the Shanghai Dragons because you're getting a haircut?
Well, yeah. I mean, I missed it because I got cut. Sure. Yeah. Or, like, I mean, it all depended on when the photo was taken. Yeah. It all depended on when the photo was taken.
All right. We got the Badger Boys here tonight on the ZABEcast. Two true, genuine University of Wisconsin graduates. Eric John Gitter. Class of 96. Still James.
1998.
And Brian Butch, you know him well. Please go visit Butchie's Den on YouTube. It's a great follow. We're going to get him over 1,000 subscribers. Actually, you're already over 1,000, right?
I'm over 1,000. We got to get our watch hours up now. So if you're paying attention, make sure you watch all of it. We're getting there. We get Greg Steens on that dropped Tuesday night at 4.
Clip where you guys moved into an apartment to save money, or at least that was the plan, and you end up losing money because it really wasn't saving, and you had rats and bats and all kinds of shit.
And everybody, we were a little bit off. We're like, dude, we can make some money on this scholarship check, like, because we got scholarship checks and we can go live where we want to. So I was like, all right, like, we can make like $500 a month. This will be good.
How did you figure you'd make $500?
Well, because I think we got a stipend of like $1,200 for our rent, and I think rent there was only like $500 a guy, so we were going to net $700.
Oh, whereas the rent at the university was going to be $1,200 in the dorms?
Yeah, if you were going to stay at the dorms. Well, there was no. They just pay it. You don't see a bill.
Can I ask where this apartment was that you ended up losing money on?
Yeah, it was on Regent Street. It was right off, right where Rocky Rococo's was, right across from Rocky Rococo's.
I know exactly where that is. Yeah.
Yeah. It was the second house on the street.
Where did you live? Now, Gitter, you went there 2 years because you airdropped in from
No, I went all four. Yeah. I was in the dorms for 3 years, and then I lived on Doty Street my senior year, Butch.
What the hell? You were in the dorms for 3 years, Gitter. That was only a freshman. What the hell? You were a junior trying to...
I was a full-time...
RA. Were you an RA?
No, I was not an RA, but I reffed intramural basketball as well. I was working full-time at the State Journal and the Badger Herald. So, yeah, there wasn't a lot of free time for me at that point.
Yeah,
I was swatting the ladies away at that point. So,
I reffed intramural basketball as well, Butchie, and I know this. Yeah. Had somebody headbutted me like Dan Hurley, bam, technical. I don't care if they're 0.3 left.
Why? Okay, so come on. Who's the NBC ref? Who's the NBC
Terry
ref?
Terry McCauley.
Terry. Back up, Terry. Terry, back up.
Listen, Terry.
That's a good idea. I didn't even put those two together. Back it up, Terry. Yeah, Terry McCauley said, this is abhorrent behavior, should never be tolerated, and has now stitched together the fact that Roger Ayers, the most prolific whistle, he's got a Twitter account. It's not his, but somebody created one called Roger Ayers Tracker that just follows where he is. The guy will do 5 games in 6 cities.
Well, they all do.
But he's very well respected, right, Butchie? He's considered an excellent whistle. He is not doing the Final Four. How is it that Roger Ayers, with all the games he does and so respected, gets left off of the final 3 games of the year?
Because there's a lot of refs that do that. Matter of fact, I'm going to get DJ Carson to be able to jump on one of these days. He's one of the really good officials as well on Butchie's Den here. Because I'm going to ask him that question. But there's a process to it. This is reading into something that doesn't need to be read into. I mean, this is after a game winner with 0.4, and that's when Roger goes to look at the clock. Come on.
All right. Well, I did see a clip today of Hurley saying, yeah, I didn't mean anything by it. Roger and I are cool. He came over to tell me how much time was left, and I just sort of leaned in. But it was a weird lean in.
Like, it was.
What are you doing?
It for sure. The guy wears the same underwear. They're dragging underwear until they lose. Come on. Right. The elevator doesn't go all the way to the top in a good way. Like, there's some things there that
He does look a little autistic, and I can say that as a father of a beautiful autistic daughter. I'll say it.
I didn't mean it that way.
He looks like a little mix of autistic and a little touch of Down syndrome, but lunatic.
He said he thought he was going to chest bump Ayers at that point to celebrate the win. Is what he literally said that on a podcast today. It's
yeah. So anyway, Butchie, I've got Gitter and I have a good friend, Ron Thomas, who is super into college hoops and knows all these referees and has scouting reports on every ref. And so we just send him assignment to say, what do you think? So the final four refs are going to be Jeff Anderson. He is the high knees.
Yeah.
High knee Jeff Anderson.
James I believe Ron called him a peacock. That's it.
He's a peacock. James Breeding. Just say good. Do great meh suck on these referees, Butchie.
There you go, Butchie.
James Breed. They probably don't say suck on that.
Yeah, great.
Lee Castle.
I don't know if I know Lee.
Ron Groover, which sounds like a porn star. Ron Groover.
Porn insurance agent.
Sorority Girls Gone Wild.
I have no idea.
Keith Kimball.
Good. Yeah.
Kip Kissinger.
Yeah, Kip's good. Yeah.
Greg Nixon.
I'm looking up a picture right now.
Marcus.
Sometimes they're Pendor. Better with.
Doug Shows. Shows.
Yeah, good.
Paul Selznick.
Paul's great. Paul's great.
Zelk. Okay, and then Doug Sermons. S-I-R.
You know, Doug's good too. Paul's a Madison guy.
Okay. All right.
So yeah, I got no problem with any of those.
All right. All right. None. Very good.
Of course, he's gonna say that.
All right. So, yeah.
What do you want me to say? They're terrible.
Well, there's got to be one guy on that list that's not very good.
Well, I mean, I think it all depends on what day you catch them. Some of them, yeah, they miss calls.
Right.
Keith is good. Yeah, I don't know why I didn't know Keith. Keith is good. Yeah, that's a good crew right there. Pulled it up. I don't know Marcus Pettigrew real well, but the rest of them, that's a really good crew.
All right. What did you think of the Duke radio call that said, oh, someone ran on the court. That should have been a technical. Like, are we not calling technicals on running on the court? This happened three different times in the tournament, and none of them were called tees.
And no, we're not. We're not. Okay. Like, and nor should we. Like, okay. This is, I mean, great game, game-winning shot, point four. Are you going to give them a technical for this? Come on. Like, this isn't running on the floor for a fight. This isn't running on the floor after they make a three in the first half. Like, this is
all live because nobody called timeout.
The officials called the timeout to look at the clock.
That's the problem. So now in every last second-ish shot, they're going to stop play to make sure they get the exact
time,
decimal point of time on the clock.
Correct.
And that introduces then a different dynamic. What if a team wanted to just quick with 1.2 left, yeet the ball inbounds to a guy snowbirding past half court?
Well, we've taken that away.
Hard. Yeah.
With the replay, you've taken it away.
All right. What did you think, Butchie, the final play by Duke that lost them the game? What was their fatal mistake?
Are you talking about the press break? Or are you talking about after the ball was stolen?
The whole thing.
The whole thing. So first of all, you're up. They have to foul you. So you don't need to rush it, right? Like Boozer's got to grab the ball, play off 2 feet, doesn't need to chuck this thing down. Either swallow it, get fouled, or take a couple of dribbles, then get fouled, or you pass fake, and then you get it to where you need to get it. I think those are the things. Like, you have three options. The one option you don't have is just to throw the ball down floor. Or down court, because you have people that are coming at you with their hands held high.
That play that the younger Boozer made was, or not the younger, but the lesser Boozer.
Lesser of the two.
Yeah.
Well, one of them's got to be over a couple minutes, at least.
Right. Although I didn't know that Caden was actually like a 5-star himself.
Yeah. No. I mean, and that's five stars.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, here's the question, and it's the legit question about, Duke but why was Caleb Foster not on the floor?
Question.
The point guard that was hurt. Like, if John Shire has to answer that question. Like, why was Caleb Foster not in the game? The dude played and beat and was the top performer in their last game, right? Like, I mean, he was the reason they won that game. In the Sweet 16. So you look at this last play, why was he not in the game to handle that situation?
How about when it comes to questions, how about Patino watching Prey go absolutely nuclear
and then he
got basically no run after hitting his sixth three of the game?
I know. All the Johnnies out there were like, hey, eat, pray, love, baby. Eat, pray, love.
The problem is Patino has left more basketball knowledge in a shit in the toilet than I'll have in my lifetime.
Or so an Italian booth at a restaurant.
Or an Italian booth for sure in a back restaurant. So I should probably slow my roll back. Why didn't you play him more? That was hot. Yeah,
but it's a fair question. Like, I mean, it is a fair question. Like, you got a guy that's hot.
I bet he had reason. So, okay. All right. Let's pivot, shall we? Pivot. Boys to Tiger Woods. Tiger Woods had quite a Tuesday. First thing that came out was the police report that was not good in terms of his narrative of, oh, yeah, it was just an accident. I mean, no big deal.
I was looking at my phone changing the radio station. I didn't realize people like to listen to the radio.
Tiger's excuse was he looked at his phone and was changing the radio all at the same time. And somehow on a 25-mile-per-hour suburban residential street, managed to clip the back of a truck towing a pressure washer and flipped his car. Really? Mm-hmm. Okay. The police report said that he was sweating profusely, was severely disoriented and stuff, and they found two hydrocodone pills in his pocket. Not
also
good.
Said so his was movement was lethargic and slow, and his eyes were bloodshot and glassy.
Exactly. I don't know if there's body cam footage. And if there was, why was that not released? Interesting.
All the rules.
So that happened, and then just about an hour later, news came that Tiger had waived his arraignment and is asking for a jury trial, which I hope they have, and I hope there is live TV in Florida courtrooms, because I'd tune into that one for sure. Now, he'll probably cut a deal once it's all said and done, but he's already cut a deal once on his 2017 DUI, and it's like, okay, you really want to do this? So I'm thinking to myself, all the way up until just an hour ago, I'm like, goddamn, Tiger's going to fight this? He's still in denial, and then the statement came out on Tiger Woods' virtual letterhead, I'm stepping away from the game for a while, in order to get healthy and get my life together, blah, 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 blah. What was the one word, Getter, that was not in that Tiger Woods statement? One word.
I don't see sorry anywhere in that statement.
True, but he also didn't say rehab.
He did not.
He wasn't going to say rehab.
Well, he says to seek treatment. So I guess does that equate rehab? Because he did say seek treatment in the statement.
Yeah, I don't think Tiger's going to say rehab here, guys. I think there's too much there. I think there's too much. I don't want to say the word ego because that's not the right word. I think there's too much pride to say rehab. Pride.
Yeah. Yeah. Because that is a
stubbornness, then, not pride.
Like Brett Favre said, I'm going to rehab. Right? Like Brett goes, I'm going to rehab. Like, I don't think Tiger's saying he's going to rehab because in his mind, and again, just what I'm like, the oxy and all that stuff's for all the surgeries. Like, it's not for, it's not like he has a problem with it.
He does have a problem with it.
But that's my point. Like, I'm saying in his mind, I don't think he thinks that taking oxy or whatever else it might be and driving is a problem. Yeah, it is. That is a problem.
Yeah.
Still is. Can't do it.
I saw somebody on Twitter say, I once was on Dilaudid, which was one of those, you know, heavy opiates. And the doctor said, yeah, of course you're not driving, and you may not remember a bunch of stuff tomorrow morning. That's how powerful it is.
Oh, when I dislocated my elbow, I was on a whole bunch of stuff, and I got a phone call from Erin Andrews, and I was like,
"Did?
Yeah."
And, from her cell phone?
And I was like,
"Did you save the number?"
Yes, she did. I didn't save the number, but she called afterwards. She called when I dislocated
the
elbow.
To see how you were doing?
Huh?
To see how you were doing?
Correct.
Such a humble brag. Erin Andrews called me.
I never heard her story in nearly 3 years of doing radio with you.
Well, yeah, I don't think you ever asked. I don't know.
You should have brought it up out of the way.
What other hot reporters have called you before, Butchie?
Right.
That's an everyday occurrence, Getter. But no, she called, and I didn't remember a gosh darn thing. Like, I know Erin Andrews. Then the reason I knew it was her because my wife now at the time, girlfriend, said, why is Erin Andrews calling you? Because I showed her the number. Like, I was,
she got a little bit saucy.
Oh, yeah. Because she was over. My wife was over. My girlfriend, not wife, whatever, was over at the house. She's like, who just called you? Like, why did, because she heard me say Erin. So, like, I think she knew who it was. And I was like, I don't know.
Oh, really? Oh, really? Who's this? Jake from State Farm is what your wife was.
What's he wearing?
What are you wearing?
I'll say this. Khakis. I thought it was really nice because Erin and Brent and Steve Lavin, like, they called all of our games that year. Like, I mean, so they like there was a relationship.
They
got a
lot. They saw a lot of you and a lot of the Badgers. This game was what game was it that you fell and dislocated your elbow?
Ohio State, number one,
2007 Ohio State.
Yeah. So you were on a bunch of stuff. You were in moon orbit once you were on those painkillers, I bet.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't remember a thing. Like, I mean, you remember stuff, but not, you don't, I mean, I was having crazy dreams. I was all over the place, man. It was, whoo.
Yeah.
So maybe you dreamt Aaron Andrews called you.
You can't drive on it.
Yeah. No. Maybe you just dreamt that it was Aaron Andrews that called you. Might've been Holly Rowe instead. You're like, oh, it's Holly. Could you get Aaron on the phone? You son of a bitch. Come on, Butchie. Give it to me. Son of a bitch. I want the Butchie, you son of a bitch. All right. Well, look, net, this is good. This is a good first step. Tiger, and this is why the rest of these media dummies and his supposed friends like Kisner are now looking stupider and stupider by the way that they spun this in the short, immediate aftermath. Riggs, especially, tap dancing for 5.5 minutes, trying to do everything but say I was wrong with his stupid ass video. Frankie, Josh, I keep calling you Josh. I'm sorry about that. Get her. Frankie Borelli, who I think is the most likable of that crew,
100%.
Came right out and said, I hated that video. I hated that video. I'm like, yeah, Frankie, go boy.
Well, Big Cat lit him up too a little bit. So.
Oh, yeah, Big Cat completely clowned him as well, which is great. That tells you how badly it landed. Oh, well, and if I'm Frankie and those guys, I'm thinking, God, you know, we spent all this time, 9 years plus, building up this brand. I don't want to be known as the Tiger fanboy sycophants who are tacitly saying, oh, yeah, drive high on opiates and run over a family. We don't care. We just want to have our next, golf ball shoot with him.
We going to hit some balls with him anytime soon? That's what Riggs is thinking.
Yeah, hey, man. Tiger knows us. He's got our phone number. I mean,
you
want
to go to the cradle with us, bro, when you're next in Pioneers?
Yeah, exactly. So yeah. And then, of course, Kisner saying on TV, like, well, thankfully no one was hurt. Hopefully we can help get him better and move along or something like that. Just sweep it on the rug. Hey, he's in a fight for his life, people. I said this yesterday here in this pod. Michael Jackson, Heath Ledger, Prince, Matthew Perry, these were all real. They happened, and they're all dead because they fell victim to opiate dependency based on previous injuries. Prince, because he had injured himself doing all these strenuous shows and everything. And Michael Jackson got burned rehearsing for a Super Bowl show. His hair caught on fire. So that's where he started taking painkillers. It's bad stuff, man. It's bad stuff.
But it is. It is. And you can see how you can get addicted to it. But it's got like, I mean, you got to, at that point, you got to know, hey.
Remember before Rush Limbaugh died, he lost his hearing because he was taking massive amounts of oxygen.
Vicodin.
Because of back pain. Yeah.
I didn't realize Rush Limbaugh died.
Jesus. But it's been a while. It's been
at least I didn't put him in the grave. At least I had him still alive in my mind. I mean, I'd rather keep a guy alive than kill a guy.
Just because the NFL season is now firmly in the rearview mirror does not mean the betting season is over. There is still plenty of opportunities to put a little something-something on the games. No matter what tickles your fancy, there is still plenty of action to whet your appetite. But just remember, where you bet is every bit as important, if not more so, than what you're betting on. That's why I tell my friends to go to mybookie.ag. MyBookie has been ahead of the game for years now. And why does that matter? Oh, I don't know, in a million ways. Better lines, better payouts, less rules. At mybookie.ag, use promo code ZABE and have your deposit matched halfway up to $1,000. That's a free cash bonus for making your deposit. Use promo code ZABE to claim the offer. Bet, win, and most importantly, get paid with MyBookie today.
Okay, next up. So we talked about the headbutting, no big deal. Tiger police report. Now he's going to rehab. Okay. NFL coaches photo. We talked about that, getting a haircut for the coaches photo. The reason I like the coaches photo is that it's like a window into the personality of the coaches. What kind of shirt do they wear? How are they sitting? Do they look uptight? Imagine the conversation between all the coaches. And I just wonder what the other coaches think of Matt LaFleur, Butchie.
Well, I mean, there's issues. There's guys that had that you know, feelings were hurt, that didn't like their roles. Just a heads up. Isn't that the head coach's job to know that? To have a pulse on the locker room? Like, isn't that the head coach's job? Like, I felt like he kind of tattletailed on himself. But I,
all right, just to set the table on this, at the annual owners meetings, which, you know, happen now, and they decide a lot of rule changes going on, a lot of rules not being talked about. How about, by the way, Gitter, that the tush push wasn't even
brought up? Not even brought up.
It came one vote from being banned.
Yeah, the next year. We're not even going to look at it. Get out of here.
The fuck?
So bad.
They meet, annual meeting of the coaches and the owners and the GMs, and it's a great place to shoot a lot of fish in the barrel and get some stuff on tape and do some interviews. So LaFleur was interviewed, and he was asked about, hey, the player report card that the owners wanted to squash, but it got out anyway, got leaked to the media, had very bad grades for you, LaFleur, and the coaching staff.
Very bad.
What about it? And LaFleur said he's going to work on it. That's, you know, tip of the cap to our friend Tim Scott. He's going to work on it. But also, you said that it was partly because he feels like players were unhappy with their roles on the team.
Isn't your job to make sure you verbally tell these players what their role is? Like,
that would be one. And then secondly, if they're unhappy, you tell them in no uncertain terms why they're not playing the role they want to play, meaning you suck. You can't contain the edge on passing downs. You aren't tackling well in space. You keep fumbling the fucking football.
Or you don't recover an onside kick. One of those.
Yeah, right. Exactly. There's a myriad of reasons that could be the case. The second thing is, why is he even admitting to this?
That's what you tattled on himself.
Yeah. Like, why would you do that? To me, and it doesn't necessarily translate into wins and losses per se, but just a mindset of, yeah, I'm not going to fucking answer that. I mean, what am I doing? Well, I'm just going to make sure it
translates into a seventh seed every year.
Yeah. And the other key soundbite that came out was the new boss, the de facto owner of the team that has no owner, but the team president now, not DeBartolo, but
Ed Policy.
Easy Ed Policy. He was like, yeah, I was really surprised when people were asking whether or not we're going to fire LaFleur or fire Goody. I just sighed the sigh of great disappointment of, why do you think that was talked about? Because that's how other teams look at the NFL. It's a winning business. You've had a coach now for, 7 years, LaFleur?
Yes.
He's won some. But in the biggest moments, on the biggest stages, the highest leverage spots, fucking wilts.
But when Policy took the job, yes, on that. But when Policy took the job, what did he say?
He said time to win, right?
Well, it's time to win. He also goes, this is, you know, we're year by year contracts here. Like, I mean, we have, but like his exact contract, I'm going to find it here, because when he took over, it was like, I remember talking about this because we all were like, oh, that's not a necessarily a check of approval there. Like it was weird. Don't type in E. I must have typed in something wrong, but ED Policy versus Ed Policy, but it came in ED.
Erectile dysfunction policy?
Yeah, I got a whole bunch of erectile dysfunction stuff that just popped up on my computer.
You're talking about pills and stuff before, so that, yeah.
Yeah, I'm not going to find that quote because a whole bunch of other stuff just came up. Exit out.
Next up, Culver's, man. Culver's data is out for the fast food chain that has been built in Wisconsin, as it now exported itself to several places around the country. And the Midwest burger giant had another monster year. Average revenue, $4.1 million per franchise, plus 7.5% year over year. They grew to 1,041 locations. That's 44 additional locations. And apparently, Butchie, they have only had four franchises fail in 37 years.
I believe
fucking it. Culver's, man.
I believe it. I mean, it's $30, at least $30. Take a family there. You're talking about $55 to go, and it's delicious.
You complain, about the price now?
I'm not complaining about the price. I'm just telling you how much it is.
Okay. Well, if that's the first thing you say, it sounds like you're telling me, yeah, they're successful, but
I'm not going to talk about the economy. I mean, for crying out loud, McDonald's is just as bad.
Right.
I love Culver's for a variety of reasons.
It's the one place where if you go through the drive-through, you are 100% going to be shunted off to a parking spot to wait for your food because they insist on making it fresh. Yeah. And that's the best thing about it, but it's also the frustrating thing about it that you're not just going to blow through the drive-thru at Culver's. And some of the best ice cream / milkshakes / cement mixers, they call them, which is almost like half ice cream, half milkshake. It's too thick to drink through a straw, but it's basically a solid cup of delicious.
But I go my biggest thing here, though, is I go with the turtle, the two-scoop double. A two-scoop turtle sundae is what you got to go with.
Got it. Getter, do you and your kids love going to Culver's? Where do you stand on Culver's?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Yeah. Chicken, the buffalo chicken basket is the best. That went away during COVID for a while. They said they could get the buffalo flavoring during COVID, which is really odd. Yeah, they could make the chicken tenders. They just didn't have the buffalo flavoring at that point. I'm like, really?
So. Can't source that during the pandemic.
Yeah,
okay.
Guess not. Yeah. Yep.
All right. Next up, I sent you guys a meme, and the meme is watching your kids pick up 45 Easter eggs in less than a minute when it takes hours for them to clean up their room. Both you guys have young kids. Butchie, yours are younger than Getter's now, who continue to get older all the time. But I just thought for guys with little kids, what'd you think of the meme? I thought it was pretty funny.
Oh, it was great, and it's so true. It's spot on. Like, it's ridiculous.
I mean, do you expect your kids to clean their room at this point? They don't really worry about that, do they? Like, they're too young to be worried about. Yeah, your kids. Too young. Come on.
Yeah, of course I make them clean the room. Why would I not? I just pulled up the meme. Why would I not have them clean up the room, Getter?
Yeah.
Well, you gotta teach them. You make them. That's good that you make them, because I think that's a great discipline to instill in your kids, but it's hard. You have to be really mean to them and strict to them when they're young and tender, and you just want to be like, oh, you know, you just want to be nice to them because you love them so much.
Do you not think I'm a strict parent in general?
I didn't say that. I'm asking, I bet you are. Well, that's good.
Like, pick your
I wish I was stricter. I wish I was stricter because, you know, I see some of my daughter's rooms and I was like, Jesus Christ, her car. And I'm just like, look at this. what are we?
What's wrong with the car? Is there wrappers everywhere?
It's just filthy. Yeah.
Do you not want to talk about it because she's there?
Well,
right
then
now?
You did it for Zabe. Then you did a horrible job. I mean, that's all on you. You're right. You should go to bed at night. That's what you should think about tonight.
Well,
you failed as a parent, according to Butchie, because your daughter can't keep her car clean.
Could have been stricter about her cleaning her room, but yeah. What about you, Getter? Are you good at getting your kids to clean their room?
When I go up there and I'm like, God, it's one more so than the other that I have to worry about.
Getter, you are not. You when you respond back with the answer of, well, I mean, when I go up there, no,
we understand.
You're not strict.
No, that's not true. I mean, my daughter is filthier than my son. So, yeah, every time I walk past a room and there's just clothes everywhere.
So in other words, they're both in the filthy category?
No, I would say Tucker's not filthy. He just doesn't always put his stuff away as well. Whereas Leighton has like dirty clothes and stuff all over her room. So, but yeah, I have to kind of be like, Leighton, come on. We're not doing this if you don't clean your room. So,
yeah, yeah. All right. One more thing I want to run by you guys. So the NFL is preparing to go to war against their referees.
Oh, yeah.
Referees in the NFL, some of them are paid $350,000 a year. I think that's the average number. Now, I mean, some guys are under that, and it's a part-time job. They all hold second jobs. I think that it's fair, given the fact that to get to the NFL, you have to be the best of the best of the best of the best of the best. You have to have spent years driving yourself to JUCO games, to Division III games, to Division I games in the MAC, and then in, you know, the American Conference, and then maybe to the Big Ten, and maybe to the NFL. And in the grand scheme of things, you don't need to save money on the refs, but the NFL wants to always not pay for shit. That's their MO. So they've already got the replacement refs in, and they just said that the NFL owners approved at the meetings, if there is an egregious error in a game, they will allow Central Replay in New York to fix the egregious error. So in other words, they already know what killed their last lockout of the refs, the Fail Mary.
Fail Mary.
With Skeeter McBuzzcut up there in Seattle. And that was the tipping point that they go, Lance Easley.
I was going to say, I was waiting for you to get it.
Yep. And so they're like, all right, well, we'll fix that. We won't have a disaster again because we'll just fix it in post-production. We'll fix it in New York. And part of me says, that's actually a kind of a brilliantly evil plan. I think the referees are fucked, boys. They better take
the really NFL stop. There. Stop. You know, your product is good. You know, you can make whatever you're going to pay the officials, you can make by throwing a sponsorship patch on the logo, on the officials, for crying out loud. Like, I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like, whatever you want to pay them, slap two sponsorship logos on their shirts, and it's going to, you know, you're going to get back what you gave them. I mean, the NBA does it. The NBA is the Emirates.
Emirates, right? They got the Emirates patch on NBA refs.
Like, whatever money you could, you're going to, like, this is so dumb. Why fight this fight? Why die on this hill? It's only going to hurt your product. Like, they don't care about their product. That, I'm going to say that, too. They don't care about their product.
No, because, you know, have you noticed all the owners, as they're talking about, you know, this 18-game fantasy that they want, this 18-game schedule? They're saying things like, it'll make the product better. It's what the fans want. It'll be more entertaining. Bullshit, bullshit. Nobody asked for it. What are you talking about? Make the product better?
Well, they're going to take away a preseason game for that, though, right?
Yes, they are. They're going to take away a preseason game, and they're going to have two bye weeks, almost certainly. And with the 18-game schedule, every team will play an international game.
Yeah.
This is not to make the product better. It's to make more money.
It's more money. And you're going to get closer to the NBA is what you're going to get close to, where you're playing so many games that, like, you lose one, whatever, it's fine. Like fan bases shouldn't get as upset about these losses if you keep adding games.
Well, I know this. You're going to have more rump games at the end of the year that don't matter, that you're like, ew, ick. Like, every year, week 17 is an ick week. There might only be two games that are even in play
relevant, and it's on Sunday, and one of them Sunday night,
ESPN, right? So the further you stretch it out, of market games live.
My computer just started playing a video.
The further you stretch it out, the taffy, the more you're going to get the rump end, two games that don't matter. Also, the two bye weeks. I remember the one year they had two bye weeks. Do you guys remember the one year they had two bye weeks?
Vaguely, wasn't it that lockout year, right? Like, wasn't it to start?
It wasn't a lockout year. Gitter's going to look it up for me right now. But one year, they tried the whole two bye weeks. And it sucked because you now had to remember, Butchie, which two weekends you weren't going to see your beloved favorite team.
Oh, and you don't have to look that up. Your wife will let you know.
Right, your wife has already got shit planned for you on both those weekends.
You just gotta look at your calendar. You didn't need to look it up. You just gotta look at your calendar. Apple Orchard, okay, yep, they don't play. Pumpkin Pet, yep, they don't play.
Yep,
okay.
They don't play. Yeah, and it's also a nightmare for fans.
It was 1993.
Wow,
hell, I don't remember that then.
But you were negative 6 years old.
Yeah, I was gonna say I don't remember that.
And they just. The Reddit thread I found said, what happened when they expanded to two bye weeks in 1993? Answer, one word, disaster. CBS and NBC freaked out because the ratings plummeted thanks to a continually depleted Sunday slate.
All right. Butchie, did you see Gary Woodland winning in Houston last week in the PGA Tour?
Yeah, it was awesome.
It was awesome, and I thought of you because of your son, Blake, who, like Woodland, has undergone brain surgery for a tumor and the incredible journey back by Woodland, where it wasn't just getting healthy enough, but the brain tumor, as it was growing, he didn't know it, was causing him to freak out about stuff because it was leaning on the part of the brain that is similar to PTSD for you know, veterans coming back from war. And so he was unable to, like, be in rooms with many people, and he was having dreams that he was going to die if he fell off the edge of his bed. So it was a double-barreled nightmare for him, and he made it all the way back. And it's been a long road, and he won. That's a great story right there.
No, it is. It's awesome. I love everything about it. And, you know, we go back for our – to a 3 weeks or 3 months scan here next Wednesday. So it's part of what it is. He's doing great right now, but it's a journey. That's for sure. It's a journey. We're still on it. And we're figuring stuff out as we go. But I say this, like the people going through it, Blake and Gary, like these guys, like there's a lot of courage that has to go to it. And it's amazing that you can keep pushing through. So
yeah, good. And young Blake is still dunking on the little Tykes hoop. And
well, yeah, took a video of him. Yes, fucking trash to dad.
Yeah. Oh, oh yeah, that's so fucking
nice.
Good. Just no, don't let him grow up to be a foul merchant like SGA, where he's flopping.
Oh, I think he should be. I think we are. We're learning a little bit of toughness. We're learning how to get to the free throw line. We're learning how to dunk in someone's face and then give them the you knew this was coming. You deserve this. You know, we got it all.
If he gets 20 free throw attempts every game, he's going to be in good shape once he gets to college and high school.
He gets. Blake gets 20 free throw attempts before bedtime every night against Butchie. He's got a very heavy whistle from the hometown.
Isn't that normal?
In-house. Yeah, I guess so. The other thing about Woodland is, holy shit, is he long off the tee. His ball speed is like
he's getting longer as he gets older. It's wild.
Maybe the brain tumor gave him like superpower strength, but his ball speed is number one on tour, and he's 42 years old. And Gitter, you being a master club fitter at Club Champion in Mequon, Wisconsin, please go to Gitter to get the best clubs for your game.
Please do. Thank you.
I sent Gitter the driver build, Butchie, for Gary Woodland. It was a freakazoid set of specs. It was like 8X stiff Fujikura shaft, 2 inches, which makes it even stiffer. And then the head had lead tape and 5 ounces of rat glue, which I'm like, I don't even know what the hell that is. It is probably so stiff that if I were to try to hit it, I would barely get the ball airborne. And that guy is murdering the ball with it.
Mm-hmm. You just swing harder.
It's not that easy. I try to swing harder. Yeah, we only have so much speed in us. So what did you think of his driver build, Gitter? Was that like, oh, my God, holy shit?
It doesn't surprise me. And he's playing like their most forgiving driver head. It's Cobra's driver head. It's not even like the tour low spin for the better player head. He's playing the Joe 18 handicap driver head, which is amazing, too.
And why is that? Because he's swinging so hard, he wants to make sure he hits it.
My guess with that setup, it doesn't spin particularly much to begin with, so he can get away with having a more forgiving head because of the setup with that shaft being tipped 2 inches. It doesn't spin at all, so he can have a head that might spin a little bit more to maximize the forgiveness.
Yeah. And you know what he did in college briefly, Butchie? Played college basketball. Gary Woodland.
You're right.
Kansas.
Yeah. He was a Jayhawk briefly.
Yeah.
That's an athlete right
being
there.
An athlete.
How
being
is your athlete. Golf game, Butchie, as we say goodbye? How is it? You've gone out yet? It's too early up there in Wisconsin?
I haven't gone out yet. My golf game is what my golf game is. It's better than what people think, but it's not good. Is that
better
fair?
Than what people think? Not as good as you want.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, you didn't think I was as good as I could be. You
I
thought
had
I was
no
worse.
Expectations. And then after three holes, I was like, oh, shit. Like, this guy actually knows how to play the game, and he's got a good action. And at 6 foot 11 and three quarters, when he connects, holy fuck, does that ball go a long way.
Yeah.
It's a better it's golfer than LeBron.
See, I'm what I am. I am what I am. Right, if well, I'm out on the golf course, have a cocktail, life is good.
All right. Well, I want you to play as much as you can with small kids and a busy schedule. This summer. I want to play with you too when I get up there. All right.
Let's do it. Schedule right, it. Done.
All right. Butchie's Dan on YouTube. Please visit, subscribe so we get those subscriber numbers up for the best damn club fitting anywhere in Milwaukee area. Miquan, you know where that is. People that live in Milwaukee, go see Getter and get the 5% discount. You get 5% off your next milkshake from Culver's, from Eric himself with a full fitting.
Sure. Over I'll buy it. There's a Culver's right next door.
Yes. Some limitations and terms apply. See store for details, as we like to say.
Getter's milkshake brings all the boys to the yard.
All right, on that creepy note, that's it for the Zapecast tonight. Thanks for listening, everybody. Have a great Wednesday, and we will see you next time.
Just because the NFL season is now firmly in the rearview mirror does not mean the betting season is over. There is still plenty of opportunities to put a little something-something on the games. No matter what tickles your fancy, there is still plenty of action to whet your appetite. But just remember, where you bet is every bit as important, if not more so, than what you're betting on. That's why I tell my friends to go to mybookie.ag. MyBookie has been ahead of the game for years now. And why does that matter? Oh, I don't know, in a million ways. Better lines, better payouts, less rules. At mybookie.ag, use promo code ZABE and have your deposit matched halfway up to $1,000. That's a free cash bonus for making your deposit. Use promo code ZABE to claim the offer. Bet, win, and most importantly, get paid with MyBookie today.